A lot of sports books come across my desk, but I saw one that was quite interesting because I know Lou Holtz and I know a little bit about the history of Notre Dame, one of the storied football schools in the country. And this book is called Unbeatable, Notre Dame's 1988 Championship and the Last Great College Football Season. And the author of the book is a very talented writer, Jerry Barca. He has written for the New York Times, also a senior writer at Sports Illustrated. And let me tell you about that 88 team. The undefeated 88 team was coached by Lou Holtz and is considered one of the best teams in college football history. The team finished 12-0, and they defeated the number one team, the number two team, and the number three teams in the nation while winning 10 of its 12 games by double digits. You know, when you look at this on the surface and you have a chance to step away from it, Jerry, for a number of years and then reflect on what was accomplished, what jumped out at you as you researched this book?
Well, the biggest thing was the schedule they faced. It was incredible. I mean, you mentioned it right there. But no team in the history of college football, still to this day, when the final rankings come out, no team has ever won the national title by beating four of the top seven teams ranked in the country. It is to go through Michigan, to go through Miami, USC, an undefeated West Virginia team. It's incredible.
Is this story enhanced because of the years previous to 1988, the mediocrity, and I'm being generous in using that word probably, the problems that Notre Dame had on the football field?
Well, certainly it follows that narrative, and that's where I actually start the book. Notre Dame, you are being generous. They were mediocre at best under the Jerry Faust era, and it ended with a 58-7 thumping on national TV on Thanksgiving weekend at the hands of the Miami Hurricanes. And this was the restoration for the Fighting Irish. This returned them to the top and in the conversation of the national championship again.
Why was Lou Holtz hired as the coach at Notre Dame?
It's funny. I go into this in the book, and there were other coaches mentioned. You know, Bobby Ross was mentioned. Dick Vermeil was mentioned. But when it came down to it, Ara Parseghian, who was the longtime coach at Notre Dame in the early 70s and won two national championships there, and Gene Corrigan, the athletic director at the time, sat at Ara Parseghian's kitchen table in Granger, Indiana, and they picked Holtz. He was the only guy they spoke to about the job, and he was picked because Lou Holtz was a winner. He won everywhere he coached, and he was 2-2 against Paterno with lesser talent when he faced him. And, of course, he had great success at Arkansas. And he was sitting there. He's a Catholic. He's at Minnesota. And they knew, Gene Corrigan knew, that Lou wanted to be at Notre Dame.
And he was also very glib. He always seemed to have an answer for every question.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was. And I've talked to a lot of people about this when I did the research for the book and talking to Barry Alvarez. I talked to Ara. I even talked to Jerry Faust. And I've talked to a lot of people in football. Lou was very much the perfect fit at Notre Dame because he was a successful X's and O's guy, and he knew how to motivate kids to have them play hard, but he also had the capacity to handle everything that comes with being the coach at Notre Dame, and he embraced that. There are other coaches, and you can see since Lou has left Notre Dame, there are other coaches that couldn't embrace all that goes on with being the coach of Notre Dame. And Lou said it to me. He said, you know, at other schools, you're the head football coach, and you have this power over a program. But at Notre Dame, he said, my job was really to feed the mascot. It's not my team. It's the student body's team. It's the alumni's team. It's the Subway alumni's team. And he really, that was a guiding principle for him at Notre Dame, that he knew he didn't have full ownership of it.
What was his plan for turning around that franchise, that school, to make it go from a loser to a winner?
Number one, he was going to have them be tough. That was number one out of the gate. And he came, the players all talk about his first meeting with them, which was, you know, within hours of them returning from that drubbing down in Miami, and him bursting through the meeting room doors and telling them exactly how they were going to win. And he's writing stuff on the board behind him in one of the meeting rooms at the Joyce Athletic and Convocation Center on campus there. He's writing stuff down about what their priorities are. And there's a great story. A guy who ended up being a captain, Chuck Lanza, who played a little bit in the NFL, when Coach Holtz first walks into this meeting, Chuck Lanza has his feet up on, I guess, the dais or wherever Coach was going to be speaking from. He's sitting in the front row, and he slouched down with his feet up. And Holt says, put your feet on the floor, sit up straight, and look at me like you're interested in what I'm saying. I'm your coach. And immediately the whole room sat up straight. And the players knew. Steve Beuerlein, the quarterback who went on to play with the Carolina Panthers and the Cowboys and the Raiders, said he looked over at Tim Brown, who would eventually win a Heisman Trophy, and they gave each other this nod of approval, like we've got somebody now to lead us. And what Coach Holtz did immediately was their winter conditioning started at 6 a.m., not 6:01, not 6:02. You were in line, ready to stretch at 6 a.m. And to walk out in February in South Bend, Indiana, I actually researched the weather. These guys were facing negative 20-degree wind chill, snow. The only day they didn't have precipitation that whole month was one day. So that's what they faced every day to get there. And then after that, they weren't going back to bed. They had to show up at breakfast at 7:30.
Jerry Barca is with us. He has authored the wonderful book, Undefeated, the story of Notre Dame's last national championship. And I don't know whether this is fair to say, and if you think I'm wrong, please correct me, Jerry, but I think the image of Notre Dame up until he got there was the fact that they really had soft players. They had a lot of white guys, and they just were not up to the competition that you found at other schools during that period of time. Is that a fair statement for me to make?
I think it's absolutely fair. I mean, it's not something that people – you're not going to hear people in the Notre Dame community talk about that, because one of the things is they don't speak negatively of each other publicly. But I know and did hear stories of – and it's also captured in the book – of guys who were good Notre Dame players didn't practice during the week. They just didn't practice. And, I mean, even Blair Keel, who was the quarterback under Jerry Faust, led a revolt to have shorter practices. And – When they went to the Liberty Bowl one of the years under Jerry Faust, they had to take a team vote twice, because the first time they voted against going to the Liberty Bowl to play Doug Flutie. I mean, it's just, that's crazy. And yes, and Holtz, like you referenced, he brought in blue chip guys, and he had Vinny Serrato as a recruiting coordinator. Nobody has had four straight number one recruiting classes that Vinny Serrato put together at Notre Dame. And, you know, guys, as far as African-American players, there have been players who said, yeah, they joke with me. Yeah, we kind of, there was a lot of chocolate on that team. You know, some of the guys in the defensive backfield would tell me. And that is the truth. They got faster is what they got. When Notre Dame lost at Alabama in 1986 and Cornelius Bennett put a hit on Steve Beuerlein, on the team bus after that game, Coach Holtz went to Vinny Serrato and said, get me the same speed that Florida State and Miami have.
You know,
we need that.
It's interesting you bring that up. I know in a bowl game in which Penn State and Joe Paterno lost to Bill Walsh and the Stanford team, I'll never forget what Joe Paterno said privately to a lot of people, and that is, I'll never get beat sideline to sideline, because the great equalizer in college football, Jerry, yeah, talent is important, but speed. Speed mm-hmm. is what kills at the college level. Let me ask you about Vinny Serrato. I knew him from out here with the San Francisco 49ers. And he was prolific as a recruiter, no doubt about it. What brief changes did the NCAA make in the recruiting rules in order to limit his effectiveness?
Oh, there were certain things about contact with players that, you know, and this was actually, it was funny, Joe Paterno was the one who brought this to the NCAA about the contact periods for reaching recruits. And, I mean, Vinny Serrato was an incredible innovator. When Notre Dame was playing in the Fiesta Bowl, he was sitting there on one of those clunky first-generation cell phones, and this is January 2nd, 1989, and he's on the phone with Craig Hendrick, ready to kick off, so he could hear the kickoff, and he's saying, see, that could be you, that could be you. And Rick Meyer, who ends up being the number two overall pick in the NFL after playing at Notre Dame, was a recruit at that point, and he'd be on the phone with Rick Meyer telling him the play call, and Rick kind of knew the playbook because he was committed to Notre Dame, and he's telling everybody back at home as they're sitting watching the game. So it was things like that that the NCAA had to put limits on, because Vinny was such a prolific recruiter. I'll tell you an interesting story. Tim Ryan is a guard on that 88 team, and he's from Big 8 country. He's from the Kansas City area, and Nebraska and Oklahoma are going after him big time. And his mother told him, you're not going to go play for Barry Switzer in Oklahoma. And when the Nebraska recruiter heard this, they knew they had a shot. And then when he heard about, the Nebraska recruiter heard about Notre Dame, he said, please, I'd rather you go to Oklahoma than go to Notre Dame. Which is, I mean, that's pretty stunning because there's an arch rival and these guys are duking it out for the Big 8 title. And Tim Ryan couldn't believe what he was hearing, but it was because they were amassing such an arsenal of talent up at Notre Dame under Vinny Serrato.
We're talking football, college football, and I want you to check out this book. We're going to make it a selection of the month on the Sports Byline USA Book Corner. It's written by Jerry Barca, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, and it's called Undefeated, the Story of Notre Dame's Last National Championship Team. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about that 88 matchup between the Fighting Irish and then number one Miami. And it was billed as a Catholics versus convicts. This is quite a story. We continue on America's Sports Talk Show.